hold on, I have to find the thing now. What did I do with it?
There it goes. Okay. Find the thing for the other thing so that you can do the thing with the thing.
Life is too complicated.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 573, recorded on May 18th, 2020.
To the 573rd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 406th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am TJ Dinser.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and includes gaming flashback.
All right, so Scott couldn't make it tonight, this week, so we have Paul back. Paul, are you still teaching?
I am still teaching. I love all of my students. It's the best job I've ever had.
Are you?
I miss being in the classroom, frankly, because of this because of the sequestering.
But are you doing online classes or just taking a furlough?
No, we are teaching online, so I do get to see my students' bright shining faces when they actually show up for my Zoom lectures. Everything is Zoom.
I was about to ask, are you doing video lectures? Yeah.
I am doing video lectures. You'd be amazed how many virtual backgrounds I've found just to keep my life interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, Paul, you missed the 400th episode. We missed you. We wished you were there.
But if I showed up on number 400, then that would be predictable, and that's just not my style.
Yeah, well, TJ and Scott were attacking me like you do, so they wanted to make sure that your presence was there.
There you go.
So before we move on, by the way, I was checking Shaq News, and there was an EVO Online announcement about having, you know, what four games are going to have. And one of the things that caught my eye was Them's Fightin' Herds. Now, I know that that's been in development for a long while, and I always thought it was just going to be some dinky little fan project. Because for those who don't know, Them's Fightin' Herds is basically a lawyer-friendly version of My Little Pony fighting game.
Yes.
Delightful.
And I can recognize, you know, Charity and Twilight Sparkle and the other ponies. So, I mean, it's not just the ponies, though, of course.
There's no Charity pony. What the hell is wrong with you?
Who am I thinking of? The one who dresses, who's a...
Rarity. What? Rarity.
Rarity. Charity.
Hey, the opposite of Charity.
The hell is wrong with you?
There will be a Charity pony, I'm pretty
sure.
That's
it. Fork over your membership card. You're not a brony. You're not a brony.
I'm not a brony, no.
You're a phony.
There you go. Is that an actual term, by the way?
You're not a brony, you're a phony.
I know. Is that a term or is it just something you made?
It is now.
Okay. A phony brony. A phony brony pony. I'm a loney.
It was so much more of a thing to be a brony, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. Yeah. Now it's like not even a thing anymore.
Yeah, but the shocking thing about it was that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was removed from the lineup. Was there only going to be four, or...
I don't know.
I'm asking TJ. He wrote the article.
They aren't going to... They're going to do exhibitions with the games that they had planned for it and are with the actual competitions. It's Mortal Kombat 11, Killer Instinct, Skullgirls, and Them's Fightin' Herds. Games that are notorious for having good netcode as opposed to everything else which has garbage netcode. It's no mystery why Super Smash Bros. Ultimate in there. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate has the worst netcode of all.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bash Nintendo, but I'm going to bash
Nintendo. I like being a pony.
I mean, all four of them are PC games, so... I mean, Killer Instinct, of course, is an Xbox One game, but I'm pretty sure they use the PC version.
Being a pony.
So. They also have, a few of them have crossplay. I don't know if Them's Fightin' Herds has crossplay, but I do know that Mortal Kombat 11 has crossplay.
See, there's a Steam page for Them's Fightin' Herds, but that's about it. Anyways, we're going to ask this of Paul first. because we don't know what he's been playing. Have you been playing anything aside from Escape the Rooms and your work on as a teacher?
I've actually taken a liking to Disney's Sorcerer's Arena on iOS.
I was bombarded with ads for that.
One of the things that I absolutely enjoy about it is that it completely understands its audience and its platform, because you're not going to get a whole hell of a lot of money from like 6 to 10 year olds on iOS right now, because it's just not going to happen, right? Even they got Game Boy, they got like everything else, right? But you know, adults, people who are like age 30 and over, people who remember the Disney afternoon, they're the ones who are on mobile games. And so to see this Disney fighting game who's actually focusing on characters like Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck, it's like, oh, I totally feel appreciated as a player, and like they get me because I'm the exact age group that is on iOS games. So thank you for giving me what I want instead of, you know, 6 different versions of Olaf.
I've always been partial to Tailspin, simply because it was Disney's version of Cheers.
Sounds like a one of them.
Yeah. So, what's your roster then?
Let's see. I got Ariel, Aladdin, Demona, Baloo, it's Yzma, and the Horned King.
So here's a question
from the Black Cauldron.
When you say Baloo, do they mean the Jungle Book Baloo or the Tailspin Baloo?
We're waiting for the outfit to come switch him out.
Oh, okay. So we don't know if he's for hire or just regular Baloo.
At the moment, he's regular Baloo. We're waiting for a reskin as an add-on. Because Yzma's got her lab coat or her Empress garb. So
please tell me they have
the functionality is built in there.
Yeah, please tell me they have samples of Eartha Kitt.
Oh my God, they couldn't afford it.
Well, she's dead. I mean, they'd have to pay her estate, that's all.
Right, but to use sound clips, they couldn't afford it.
Oh, okay. Wrong
liver!
Yeah. Anyways, TJ, what have you been playing?
So, I was fiddling around with a game called The Procession to Calvary. And it's probably one of the weirdest things I've played in a long time. It's a point-and-click game done with Renaissance art. And characters pulled and mixed and matched and meshed from that Renaissance art to make a very Monty Python-esque silly adventure. It's weird. The first time I played through you play as a
knight. The trailer makes it look like it's one of what's-his-face's openings, Monty Python openings.
Yeah.
With the cutouts.
Like, one of the things that's worth – this is a game that, like, you do the typical thing of you go around, you talk to people, you find out information, you find items, you put them where they need to go. But there's a button in the game where you draw a sword, and you can also just kind of kill everything that stands in your way between you and the end. And it's abrupt and kind of hilarious the first time through. But, like – so if you do it that way, it's very quick. It's a very quick path to the ending, but it's a bad ending. And if you take your time and try to figure things out, there's quite a bit more of it there.
Well, just so you know, this is by a single developer, Joe Richardson. His first game was called The Preposterous Awesomeness of Everything, which was basically Monty Python meets a Scum game, you know, LucasArts mm-hmm. Scum game. So... he also worked on Super Hot, but that was part of a team.
Yes. And I should mention, this like takes place – supposedly this takes place after a holy war, and your character is a knight that just got done murdering everybody and is pissed off that she can't go murder some more people. And so she learns that the enemy of the war, Heavenly Peter, escaped. And so she's off on a quest to go find Heavenly Peter and do terrible things to him.
Yeah. All of his games are very Monty Python-esque, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, now...
I'll bet she's looking for Heavenly Peter.
So, did you ever get around to getting Prince of Persia?
No, I didn't make it there.
Okay.
Not this last week, anyways.
So, I owned the game for the Xbox 360, so it's backwards compatible, and I played it, and I realized why the control was so much smoother is that on the PC, they really ramped up the resolution. Because when you play it on Xbox 360, especially if it's upscaled to 4K, it looks very cut out-ish, you know, as if, you know, very dark lines around the characters. Still a beautiful game, but it was not meant to be on a 4K TV.
Yeah, but some people are into that.
No,
kind
I
of like a current retro feel.
And here's the thing, even though it's, you know, the resolution is very much HD instead of 4K, it's still beautiful and still holds up, which is why it's still $20, even though it's from 2008. It's a 12-year-old game. And like I said, the reason why I recommend getting that version instead of the PC version is simply because the epilogue was released for the Xbox version and not the PC version.
Yeah, well, you still can't save Aerith, so... There you go.
But, yeah, I should send you a link, TJ, to the end credits music, which is a medley of all the music in the game. And you'll see why I awarded it back at Game Stooge, best music of the year for that year. And it had some stiff competition, too.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Anyways, other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Old World. The thing about it is it's still in early access, so it feels still a little unfinished to me. There's a whole game there. It just feels like it needs a lot more work on it, especially in terms of tooltips and all that sort of stuff. We discussed this about Crusader Kings 3 on the Let's Play, that one of the problems of Crusader Kings 2 was that the tutorials were really not very good and didn't really tell you. It was one of those games you had to go to a wiki to figure out what you were doing.
I mean, at this point, Paradox Interactive has admitted that that Crusader Kings 2 is very much like built like an indie game, where there are holes where they didn't have the expertise to like build the tools and build the information for it at the time.
And, you know, I'm interested in Crusader Kings 3. I just know that anybody who buys it, it's going to be sort of like buying Arkham Horror or any other board game with expansions. Like, it's going to be an entire investment. You buy this, then you feel compelled to buy all the DLC, because all the DLC adds content that you want, even if you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways,
why can't they just give us what we want the first time?
Because they give you a full game, then they just keep adding to it.
In giving me the full game, why don't they just give me the stuff that I actually want?
Well, they can. I mean, at some point, there will be a Game of the Year edition which has all the DLC included.
That's bullshit.
Or they'll just make Crusader Kings 3 and hopefully answer all of your issues.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be... It's like Europa Universalis, you know? And here's the thing, you know, you can play Crusader Kings 2 with none of the DLC, and you'll still get a full experience. It's just that people say,
it's just not the experience that I want, so why should I bother?
But that's it. Crusader Kings 2 is the experience that people want, but then they get greedy and they want more, you know.
Lies, it's all about me.
No. By the way, on that note, I hear from the birdies that EA is working on a remastered version of Mass Effect 1 through 3, and I'm hoping that it'll contain all the DLC. I mean, I have all the DLC. If I'm going to get it for the Xbox One, Series X, then I want the whole kit and caboodle all in one package.
That would be kind of shoddy if they didn't include the DLC with the trilogy.
No, you always want to please those shareholders. You know how it is, so we'll see. Anyways, we have a big show, so we're just going to try and zip through this. TJ.
Yeah, let's do the thing.
TJ, we're doing a bad game this time for Gaming Flashback. Go ahead.
On this week's Gaming Flashback, we're doing Bomberman Act Zero. Bomberman Act Zero is an action game developed by Hudson Soft for the Xbox 360 in 2006 and published outside of Japan by Konami. it is noteworthy for its departure from standard titles in the Bomberman series, which is right at the start its downfall. It featured more realistic graphics and a dark dystopian future setting. The game was panned by critics and fans.
To say the least.
Players as Bomberman must destroy each other to fight their way to the surface of the Earth and escape. Players can customize their character, including their gender. The game is viewed from an overhead perspective, like other Bomberman titles. The levels have a number of pillars throughout that require characters to navigate down hallways. There are sometimes obstacles in these paths that can only be destroyed by bombs. The bombs are also necessary to defeat opponents, an alternate mode called first-person battle allows players to view the action from behind the player character and are able to maneuver the camera.
I'd like to say that is not first-person, damn it!
No, that's third-person.
That's third-person. One of these things is not like the other one. Sorry.
In the standard mode, the Bomberman can only be killed by a single bomb, including their own. In FBP mode, they are given a life meter and can take multiple hits. In both modes, the Bomberman can pick up. In both modes, the Bomberman can pick up different power-ups, including speed. Why do they keep calling him the Bomberman? It's just Bomberman. I hate it. Anyways, can pick up different power-ups, including speed, bomb count, bomb strength, and bomb direction. But remove two classic power-ups from the main series, kicking and throwing. The former could attack players on the other side of the board, and punching allowed dropping bombs on the other side of a block. Both modes last for 99 floors. If the player character dies, players must restart from the beginning.
Yeah, so if you die at level 98, tough luck. Sucks to be you.
The game features an online-only battle mode called World Battle, which supports up to 8 players, but did not allow for System Link.
So, here's the thing. Hudson said, oh, you know what, the Xbox 360 is coming out, it has great online. Let's take advantage of that. But what do Americans like? Oh, yeah. Remember, this is 2006, so everything had to be dark, gritty, gothic. Where are they?
That's not even what gothic means.
Well, gothic.
What if Bomberman was more Gears of War?
It wasn't even that. It was more like, what if Bomberman was hatred?
What if Bomberman was trash?
Yeah.
What if Bomberman hated himself?
So, here's the thing.
What if Bomberman had an existential crisis?
This game was dead on arrival because when people saw what it was going to look like, they hated it immediately. And those people who were willing to give it a chance, the gameplay was trash, too. So, here's what happened.
There's nothing like a garbage game that looks like garbage.
Yeah. It was the sort of game you'll find $2.99 used, or new, actually, on the rack. So what did Hudson Soft do? The very next year, they released Bomberman Live, which had the regular characters with the regular looks and the regular gameplay. And, oh, look, people actually bought it on XBLA. So here's the thing. In 2006, there were constraints to XBLA, so you couldn't get... you didn't have a campaign mode, but you could play single player with bots. It was basically an online thing, you know, because they wanted to take advantage of online, and people loved it. It was later released on the PlayStation 3 as Bomberman Ultra, obviously because they couldn't call it online.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is one of the most infamously bad games ever released in the 7th generation.
And man, look at
this. Superman 64, what?
This is the Superman 64 of Bomberman games.
Okay, fair enough.
If you all you have to do is people who want to see Bomberman Act Zero, all you have to do is do a Google image search. Just the box cover and the graphics will turn you right off.
It looks like if Captain Falcon was trying to be Bomberman, but not nearly as cool as you might think.
Why would I want to be Bomberman?
Because Bomberman is cute and adorable and cool as heck.
Yeah, I mean, this was a bad idea from the start. And
why wouldn't you want to be Bomberman?
Here's the thing. There is a trope called American Kirby is hardcore, in which almost every Japanese game in which the cover of the character, say Kirby, is smiling and having fun, but when they release it in the U.S., they always have to give Kirby a harsh scowl, like he's gonna kill your family, you know?
That's because for some reason American game players have tied in their entertainment media with their sense of masculinity. They are not man enough if their Kirby isn't going to murder your entire family.
Well, here's the thing. This actually goes back to the video game crash in 1983. Before the crash...
Oh, teach us, oh wise one.
Well, if you already know this part...
I'm mocking you. No. I want to hear your thoughts.
So, before the video game crash in 1983, video games were for everybody, you know. There was no trying to pander to anybody. They just, you know... Everybody, you know, all the demographics, you know, were catered to. However, when there was the video game crash in 1983, people started panicking and they looked at their demographics to see who were the ones who were playing video games most, even if it was a few percentage points higher. And they found it was young boys or, you know, teen boys. And so you'll notice all the marketing after that started being centered on them. And what did they want?
This is the like rare instance where you are marginally insightful, Jonah, and you have like 90% of your facts straight, except for the fact that it was the gender segregation of the entire toy store that became the problem. And so when trying to reintroduce itself into the American game market and trying to be sold in toy stores, Nintendo had to pick between the color-coded toy aisles.
Nintendo, I mean everybody. Atari and all the other...
Nintendo did it first.
Yeah.
No, this is after Atari.
And what?
This is after Atari.
No, Atari was...
We are talking...
I know you're talking about Nintendo.
We are talking the decision about where to put Rob the Robot. That is the one answer right that you're looking at.
Well, here's...
I'm giving you credit for being like 90% correct.
Anyways...
Just say thank you for the additional information and move on with your life.
I'm not finished, though. Anyway, that gender skewing is still with us because young boys, and I'm saying young boys as in 21 and under, you know, have viewed video games as quote unquote their thing and no one else's. So, I mean,
such
it's still
fucking
it's
rampant
still
misogynistic macho right. bullshit.
Yeah. It's referring not necessarily macho, just posturing. I mean, you can't be macho.
Yeah, tell them to go fight a war if they want to prove how manly they are.
Well, you
keep their hands off my video games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but in order to be manly, you actually have to have pubic hair. So,
I'm gonna be rocking it with my Barbie fashion designer and then kiss my fucking ass.
Well, here's the thing. My one little regret is that I never played Twilight Hollow. Or Pixie Hollow.
That's your one regret out of your entire long life? That's your regret?
No,
Jonah,
I wanted to...
I could give you a list.
For those who don't know, Paul worked on that. So I never got to play something
Yeah, it was
Paul
an amazing game.
On.
Amazing game. I miss it so much.
And you want to hear something nice? I saw a retrospective on Disney's MMOs because one of the things back... What years would I...
They have it on a fan server.
Late 2000s, early 2010s. There was this big thing about making MMOs for kids, you know, and Disney went in whole hog, and one of them was Pixie Hollow. The other one was, oh, damn, it was where you could create a Disney character and, you know, wander
Soon
around.
Turn Online?
Yeah. Anyways, it was that era, so, you know. I mean, Lego tried to jump in on it with Lego Worlds, but they didn't make it. I think that was the beginning of the end when people started pulling out of that.
It was the iPhone.
Yeah, and that too. That too. Let's just say that Bomberman Act Zero, again, is very much of its time. And we're starting slowly to get out of that. We still have to have people be hardcore, you know?
It's just dumb, because you can have, a monstrous killing machine like Kirby... And not have it be hideous as fuck.
Yeah, he eats you and poops you out. Or is that...
He eats you and absorbs your powers and then poops you out as his best friend.
That's Yoshi, the one who eats you and poops you out as one of his eggs.
I mean, I'm more concerned with the rampant misogyny. Like, why would it be so emasculating to play a game quote unquote meant for girls. Do girls not enjoy a quality gameplay experience too? Are they less a part, a member of our society? Well, this is why I want to kill myself on a daily basis.
Here's the other thing, though, also. Women and girls tend to like problem-solving games more than guys do as well. You know, deductive tactical games. I mean, yeah, you have shooters. I mean, oh, God, I forgot their names. That infamous Quake group, who are still around, by the way, and I'm trying to remember what their names are, what the name of the group was. Anyway, but... You know, that's why you see so many hidden object games aimed at women, because, you know, I mean, I love hidden object games too. I mean, when I did Brain Age, I found out that logic and memory were my strongest points. So, anyways,
then why does half the stuff that comes out of your mouth utter nonsense? Wait, no, that's a subject for a different show.
You see,
Paul, that's a subject for therapy.
He's not been on the show. See.
That's a therapy session right there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, things are changing. We have
to be nice to Jonah. We got a letter from HR. Things are changing.
there are now bomber women.
Yeah,
there are now bomber women.
But there was always bomber. There was always female bomber men. I mean, but now they have a game called Bomber Girl.
I like the word girl. I just think it's an awesome word. And you know what? Callista Flockhart's defense of the word girl in season one of Supergirl is like a monologue that should be committed to memory, along with, you know, the life that lights went out in Georgia.
Yeah, I stopped watching Supergirl after this third season because my biggest problem was that they kept on changing the cast and altering it, and it's like they didn't know where they wanted to go. Oh, Mon-El's now a romantic lead. Oh, no, we can't have the actor, so screw it. He's gone. I mean, I can accept the fact that Callista Flockhart didn't want to leave L.A. because the only reason why she left the show was that the show was moving to
because they moved the production, yeah. And the production wasn't as good without her.
But here's the thing:
it removed 90% of the dramatic tension about Kara being able to keep her job.
You know, here's the thing: I didn't.
It's what we signed up for.
It was fine, I guess. But the problem I had was that they introduced Mon-El, then they got rid of Mon-El. You know, it's just like...
That's just like it is in the comics.
No, it isn't.
Yes, he comes and goes.
No.
He's not the great love of her life. He comes and goes.
No, but I'm just... Well, here's the thing. It's a show. And I don't care if they don't become a romantic couple. I just want some continuity. Oh, this gas is going to kill every Daxamite. It's like the Terrigen gas and that friggin' event that killed off all the mutants in the Marvel Universe was done because of you know, editorial instead of actual writing. So they have to, you know, and it's like, okay, I give up. I mean, I'm sad I missed the Crisis on Infinite Earths, but...
Which I still don't know if it's done or not, by the way.
I mean...
I haven't seen it. I've taken to the point of watching the entire Arrowverse when it comes out on Netflix because... Not only do I not have the time or the energy to tune into one show every week, ever since Once Upon a Time went off the air, but I do not have the time and the energy to tune into like six shows every day to keep them all in order. It's like, you know what? I'm going to wait until the entire universe comes to Netflix, and then I'll just be able to count on the bottom of the screen when I'm supposed to go back and forth between series.
Oh, screw that. I'm just going to wait until the show is over and they release the DVDs.
No, because then there's still – no, because then you won't get the crises. They're on different television shows, so you have to know, okay, I have to stop Supergirl at episode 5 and then get, you know, watch the first part of that, and then it'll be Flash episode 7, and then Legends of Tomorrow is episode 3. So, like, on Netflix, it makes it much, much easier to bounce back and forth to keep that continuity going, because if you are not up to date on all of those shows before you start watching the crisis of that year, then you're gonna miss half of what makes that kind of a crossover event interesting and fun.
I didn't bother watching.
Like, you have to be up to date.
I didn't bother watching Legends or Flash or Green Arrow the first time they did the crossover. You know,
and that's why you're a sad, sad little man who has my pity.
Here's the thing. I don't care. I don't believe in FOMO. You know, I mean, here, you know. I'm not going to pre-order NBA 2K 21 because I know it's going to be trash, and I'm not going to pre-order. I'm not going to give 2K my money. I don't care. You know, I'll rent it and see if I like it, but I'm not going to buy it. I've been burned too many times. I don't care. I don't need things in my life that I don't need. It's my way of.
I don't need things in my life that I don't need. That ties in really well to our next story, by the way.
Yeah. So, anyways, our first news item: video game spending reaches record high during pandemic, and this comes from TechSpot. U.S. consumer.
Ooh, so you know it's good.
U.S. consumer spending on video games reached an all-time high in the first quarter as gamers look to quell boredom while ordered to stay at home with the slow spread of COVID-19. For the three-month period ending March 31st, the U.S. video game industry generated $10.86 billion in total revenue. That's an increase of 9% compared to the same period a year ago, according to the NPD Group. Video game content software accrued almost $10 billion of the total, an 11% increase year over year. Doom Eternal, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Minecraft, and Animal Crossing New Horizons are among the best-selling titles during the quarter. We already know that Animal Crossing was a monster hit.
Oh my God! Everybody is playing Animal Crossing.
It's not just one of the best-selling titles of this quarter. It's one of the fastest-selling Nintendo Switch titles of all time.
Yeah. Now, here's
more than Breath of the Wild.
Yes, more than Breath of the Wild, more than Mario Kart 8, more than And by the way, Mario Kart 8 is the all-time highest seller for the Nintendo Switch.
I gotta say, it is the Zelda game that's going to, you know, get your hardware in people's hands.
Yes.
Because I think is a business strategy, is just freaking genius. Deliver a solid single player experience to get your hardware in people's hands, because then you don't have to wait. Oh, hey, do you want to play this multi game experience? No, I don't have the hardware yet. So it just makes so much sense. And now, you know, that people have it, to focus on that multiplayer product, it's kind of genius.
Which
now that people
the
have the hardware,
of the Wii U, doesn't it?
Oh, let's not talk about the Wii U.
They found out that the casual gaming audience were like, "What? You want us to buy another console? But we already have Wii Bowling. We don't need anything else."
Animal Crossing struck at the exact time it needed to, at a time when everybody is stuck inside and most things are sad.
That's so true.
We discussed this last week, but the thing that also people are playing the most are games like The Long Dark and other games in which you are trying to survive or die in a big world where everything has gone to shit. Like
Hobo, the game!
Yeah.
It's like people want to test out to see if they can survive.
They can't. They can't. They're fat and they have too many health problems.
I mean, DayZ came out at the
right. I am completely down with the fact that if our society collapses, no matter how much I kind of want it to, like, I'll be fucked. Like, I have way too many health concerns, and I have not run since, like, the Ice Cream Man came around when I was 10.
Here's the thing. TJ, does it seem a bit convenient timing that DayZ came out on Game Pass this past week? I have to think that was deliberate.
It was also like a top download on Game Pass the week after it came out.
Speaking of which, we didn't discuss this last week. We discussed this on the Let's Play, but Grand Theft Auto 5 crashed the Epic Games Store.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Even though I despised the game, I still claimed it, because why not?
I think that's the state of mind for a lot of people, and in fact, a lot of people I talked to about it claimed it just because. It's free. Also, Epic played that like bandits. They give you Grand Theft Auto 5 for free, and on the same day they launch a new storefront sale.
Grand Theft Auto 6.
Well, no, they launch a new storefront sale, and if you claim Grand Theft Auto 5 for free, you get a $10 coupon for their mega sale. First hit is free, baby.
Here's the thing. We already discussed that on the Let's Play. Why don't you talk about it, TJ, about how people react to Grand Theft Auto 6.
Grand Theft Auto 6 is a strange thing in which it creates a certain subculture of social media user. And I say that And what I mean by that,
human garbage.
Well, yes, but also people that specifically look to respond to that human garbage as if it's their purpose in life. Human garbage.
Well, here's the thing. Anytime Rockstar's Twitter says something, people will pipe in asking about Grand Theft Auto 6, even though it has nothing to do with the conversation. Then they'll attract people who attack them for asking about Grand Theft Auto 6. It becomes a vicious cycle.
We posted a story on Shack News that was like about an update coming to Red Dead Redemption 2 online or something. It got, for some reason, I don't know why Rockstar retweeted it, but they did. And the moment that they did, we got like 100 comments about Grand Theft Auto 6 win. And then like immediately following those people, just comments of like, go die, we hate you, Grand Theft Auto 6 never. And it's like this subculture, it's like this perfect little biome of people that live only to reply to Rockstar about Grand Theft Auto 6 and hate reply to other people about Grand Theft Auto 6.
Why can't we just get Bully 2 and be done with it? We all take it. It's true. It put everything else out of business.
I mean, why can't we have Jade Empire 2? I mean, it's just the way it is.
Because everybody knows that my questions are far more interesting, Jonah.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, and perhaps the Switch 2, all get yet another remastered version of Bully. Or Bully's...
Oh, the Switch is not getting... I sincerely doubt that that's coming to Switch.
How fast did you finish the achievement to have him kiss all the boys, gay boys from each of the cliques?
Day one.
Especially the jock. It's like he's all very, very no homo.
No, my favorite was the preppy. He was so cute. Yeah. He was so sweet.
Yeah, he was the shrinking violet sort of guy. Like, oh, I can't.
He's like, hey, don't tell anybody.
Senpai notices Kohai.
For a second, I had to like take a moment to remember if they ported Red Dead Redemption 2 over to the Switch because it was like I was thinking of a bad port, but it was just Google Stadia. That was the bad port I was thinking of.
Isn't everything Google Stadia?
I mean, if you want your game to run like trash and cost $15 more, then yes.
Anyways, TJ, take the next item.
See, this is one of the things that I like about TJ. He knows all that technical crap that I don't have fucking patience for.
Well, that's his job right now. He's a writer for Shack News.
I just don't have the patience. I am all about like fucking glitter and unicorns and how does this mechanic make my players feel.
Google Stadia is an inhospitable mess and I don't have the time to go into just like all the ways in which
and Microsoft is right now owning Google Stadia left and right. I mean, something that people don't seem to realize is what a win it was for Sony to have to rent out their cloud servers. That's like Microsoft being forced to put the Blu-ray in the Xbox One.
It was also an absolute win for Microsoft and their Project xCloud that Google Stadia like launched, fell flat on its face, and then continued to trip down the stairs, shitting its pants on the way down.
By the way, it's
amazing how much...
Because nothing makes me feel better like stairs covered in shit.
Here's the thing, by the way. That reminds me...
Of stairs covered in shit? No.
There's a rumor from trustworthy people. The Xbox Series X is going to have a $400 price tag.
I don't.
Not in this economy, it's not.
No, well, here's the thing. The PS5, there's
not with a 25% unemployment rate, it's not.
No, but here's the thing. I think it might have been Game Pass, which is enabling them to do it, and also Minecraft, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, that Microsoft has so much capital built up from Game Pass and Minecraft and their other projects, including the xCloud and all that stuff, is that they'll be able to withstand the loss. You know, because here's the thing, a lot of consoles on their first year are sold as loss leaders, and what that means is that the... company that released the console is going to lose money on each unit sold, you know, a little bit of money, but it comes back to them because then people start buying the games and they get, you know, and then, you know, the technology gets cheaper and they start making money. So loss leaders to get you in the door You know, and Microsoft, it is possible that they're making so much money from Game Pass and Minecraft and other projects that they're able to withstand. They probably have a number in mind and saying how many they're probably going to sell if they sell 400 and how much money they'll lose and if they can withstand that. You know, because the double-edged sword of Game Pass is that why and also xCloud is why would I need to buy an Xbox Series X when I can just play it from the PC? So we'll see. Anyways, moving on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Epic's Game Store keyless integration with other digital stores announced from press release. Epic Games has announced partnerships with a number of third-party digital game sales platforms to offer keyless purchases for Epic Games Store titles. Platforms include Fanatical.com, Green Man Gaming, and Ginba Digital, who will be announcing partners soon. These platforms join Humble Bundle, which added support for keyless purchases last year, with more to come. This partnership makes it easier for players to purchase games from third-party sites by allowing them to link their Epic Game Store accounts to their retailer of choice. Once a purchase is made, the game will automatically appear in the player's Epic Game Store library with no redemption key necessary. Players no longer need to take the additional step of redeeming a key, and developers and publishers can be confident that sales are coming from a legitimate source. Epic won't receive any revenue share on titles sold this way.
This goes back to last week when we talked about good old games having their Galaxy be able to link every single thing from Microsoft's Windows 10 Store and Steam Store and Epic Store, and I found out other stores that I didn't realize that I was registering was like. And one of the things that I found was interesting is that it worked the reverse way as well on the Windows 10 Store, as I saw the games that I had. Some of the games that I had on Good Old Gaming were appearing on my Windows 10 store. And I think this is going to stop a lot of the belly aching that people have about multiple storefronts. You know, I don't want to order from Epic because, you know, I buy from Steam and I want all my Steam things in a single, you know. It still strikes me as stupid because this is the only region in which I heard people want less choice than more. You know? So I think having everything under, you know, having an app, whatever it is you use, have all of your games, you know, available to run from that makes it a lot more painless. I'm mixed feelings about not having a Steam code, though. Because
isn't GOG also kind of doing something like this with Galaxy, or would you say that's entirely different? Okay.
The problem I have with not having Steam code, the only one little thing is that with Humble Bundle, I get a bunch of games, and some of them I already own. And it's like, can't I just give the games I don't own as gifts to other people?
Yeah, that's true. But, like, the illegitimate code key sellers is a serious problem with this kind of business. Like, that is most definitely a racket run around the world. So, like, I don't know. From a business standpoint, I can see what they're going for. Like, that has always been an issue with, like, the online marketplaces, having the key that can easily be bought from an illegitimate source, sold to an illegitimate source. I don't understand enough about it to say it's the same thing, but I have heard people compare it to, like, Bitcoin scams.
Yeah, and then there's going to be an entire type of game player who just doesn't want to like be bothered. Like I would much rather just have. I'd much rather miss out on a game than like feel like I'm getting cheated. Like I cannot stand the fact that I have to purchase like three different copies of Heroes of Might and Magic 3 just so I could play it. Like I'd much rather like keep my disc and go and boot up my old system if I really want to play it that badly.
Yeah, I wonder. There's probably USB 3.25-inch floppy. 3.5-inch floppies. Anyways. We're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
Minecraft sales now exceed 200 million, and this comes to us from PC Gamer. Mahjong marked Minecraft's 11th anniversary, counting from the launch of the public alpha in 2009, by rebranding itself and teasing that it's playing around with some ideas for brand new games. But Minecraft is still at the center of Mahjong's universe, according to the announcement. And given that more than 200 million copies have been sold, that's not a surprise. Side note, I still don't own a copy. So there is growth there.
Well, I get it as part of a Game Pass, so...
Growth potential. I'm seeing not everybody has a copy yet. I don't. Studio head Helen Cheng shared the figures in a blog post that also detailed the ways that Minecraft and its players have adapted to the last few months. In March, Mojang released free educational worlds in the Minecraft marketplace to help out when schools started closing. Last weekend, one of the several graduations took place in the blocky sandbox. During Minecraft's 10th anniversary, Mojang announced that it's 176 million, so that's 24 million more copies than just the last year. As for monthly players, it's at 126 million. That's likely to include the Chinese free-to-play version, which boasted over 300 million players in 2019. And when hordes of people aren't playing it, they're watching it. Last year, it was YouTube's most watched game, racking up a whopping 100.2 billion views. Runner-up Fortnite had only 60.9 billion. Yeah. I still don't understand why people want to watch other people play a fucking game.
It's entertaining. I mean, if you're really into something, then you want to see...
Play the goddamn game yourself!
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, you know, watch to see if there's anything that they can learn from other people watching. And also, here's the thing. It's not just people playing the game. It's people talking during the game. You know, I mean, that's what me and TJ have been doing with the Gamecast Plays thing. You know, we chat about news while I'm playing a game. At some point, it'll have to be we are playing a game. I have to find a two-player game we can play at the same time.
When will the general public understand that I am the only person worth listening to?
You can always join in.
So, who has the time?
So I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think it was on this podcast. It was
that I'm the only person worth listening to?
No, it was a Minecraft project that like somebody commissioned for ton of money.
Yeah.
And it was a 6,000 block sculpture. And they posted a video, like they posted a couple videos of it being created.
It was an entire city.
And that's the kind of stuff that like people will tune in for. Like we're not talking about your typical just like people will watch other people just adventure in Minecraft, but there is some value in like crafting works of art, and I do say that like with meaning, works of art and Minecraft.
I mean, this city cost, what was it, $180 it was commissioned for?
I can't remember, but it was also something that like they it pissed a lot of people off because they won't release it to the public. It's like a private project that they keep specifically for the client.
Yeah, and the city based on a popular anime.
And they are literally hired to do this. Like, people go and find them and commission them to build these massive, intricate Minecraft structures.
The human race has too much fucking time on its hands.
Well, right now, yes. Definitely yes right now. You know, bread and circuses, but, you know, it's like... People can go to the movies, or they can watch TV, or they can play video games, you know?
People should read a goddamn book.
They can do that, too. As a matter of fact, I usually read myself to sleep.
I think I'm already on my, like, 14th book since this entire pandemic thing started.
Do you savor them? Do you just read slowly?
I let them immerse my soul as the words cascade over me. And change the fundamental core of my being.
What kind of book do you read, anyway? Books.
The Sword of Truth series.
Okay. Who's the writer?
I cannot recommend it highly enough. Terry Goodkind. Starts with the wizard's first rule. Cannot recommend it highly enough.
How many books are there? It started in 2007, I know that. No, it started in
1994. It started in 1994.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see, how many books
and are there? And yet, the world has not yet learned the lessons inherent in this series. such as, like, don't trust the people in fucking charge.
What is the first rule? Don't poop in your robes?
Nope.
The first rule, people are stupid.
Oh, okay, cool. That's a good one, too.
Right?
Don't poop in your robes is a good one, though.
Yeah. That's more like Wizard's first advice.
I actually read I read I'm currently reading the Rebecca Orr series, although I'm on the third book, you know, which is the last of that series. And it was actually Rebecca Orr is a pseudonym for a different author. I forgot her name, but I've been just rereading and reading the Vorkosigan saga stuff by Lois McMaster Bujold. As a matter of fact, I was the one who started the Vorkosigan wiki. Someone else is doing most of the content, though.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you, TJ?
Wizard's first rule, change the product.
What? The first rule? Wizard's first rule?
I'm telling you, if everybody in this country read that goddamn book, we'd be a lot better off.
Okay. TJ, what have you been reading?
Reading? I don't do that.
Well, you've been writing, so...
No, I can't remember the last time I sat down with a good book. It's been a bit.
But here's the thing, you're writing, so it's sort of like superseding having to read, I guess.
No, I guess I read every day because I'm reading my colleague's work, and actually, like, I'm going out of my way to, like, do research every day. So, but I can't remember the last time I sat down with, like, a full-length novel.
Well, what's the last series that you enjoyed, then?
I sat down and re-explored the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first three books.
Oh, okay. The increasingly inaccurate trilogy.
Yeah, I stop after the third book because then it just goes off the rails a little
too
far.
Well, yeah, the other thing is that Douglas Adams hated writing, and he became more and more sour, and his books got dark. I think in the fifth book it was the darkest one. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea just to read the first three and just leave it at the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's how I feel. By the time I got to the end of the third one, I kind of had that feeling already where it was just like, this is kind of starting to like stretch a little far for me.
It's like reading the end of the sixth book of the Oz books by Frank L. Baum, because at the sixth book he just said, okay, Oz is closed off. No one can get there anymore. See you later.
And then went on to write 15 more books.
Yeah, it's like people said, fuck you, we want more Oz. And, oh, fine, here's the seventh book.
In a book series.
I actually read all those recently. They're not good.
I actually liked Glinda of Oz, which is the 15th one.
He doesn't even remember where he put things. They're constantly moving.
Which one was the
gnome? Nobody has the same power, right? From chapter to chapter.
Which one? The Gnome King was in the 15th one, I believe?
Gnome King is in, like, 12 of them.
No, I mean, there was...
He starts in number 2.
No. I know. But anyways, I never read any...
I read them all.
I never read any of the Ruth Plumly books, by the way. I never read any of those. I didn't want to read anything not by the original author. But I had all the Bane books. And, you know, it shocks me when I look online, those Bane paperbacks, they're like $100 each now.
Hmm. Okay.
But that was my introduction. You know, I became an Ozhead. What can I say? I own before.
They're terrible books.
Yeah, but, you know, I read them as a kid, so they still have a special, you know, I give him a pass because of the nostalgia factor.
Sentimental.
I know. You had so much to choose from back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. I'll slice you in half like one of the veggie people.
No, I'm feeling bad for you, Jonah. It's sympathy.
What are you talking about? Whatever.
You couldn't develop taste because you had so much less to choose from 300 years ago when you were a child.
I gotta find
the... You're fucking old.
I know it's out there somewhere. Anyways, we're going to move on to the last item. Star Citizen will hold a free fly event starting this coming week. Curious about what's going on with Star Citizen? You'll have a chance to poke around and explore it yourself this week. Robert Space Industries is holding another free fly event as part of Invictus Launch Week, a celebration of the United Empire of Earth's naval fleet. The event runs from May 22nd to June 1st, and as with prior Star Citizen free fly events, you'll have a selection of spacecraft to test fly each day, with a different slate of in-game manufacturers highlighted every day of the event. As you may have heard, some of these ships are pretty expensive to own, so these virtual expo events are a fun chance to try them out. Helpfully, and this is my favorite part, RSI has provided some directions on how to get to the actual event if you're firing up Star Citizen for the first time. When you load into the game, you'll spawn at Area 18, inside the Ardera Falls Habitation Complex. After leaving your apartment, head downstairs and take the elevator to the ground floor. From there, head out to the building and onto the square, following signs at the Arcourt Plaza. Head to the plaza to enter the City Flight Transit Station, then head to the platform for the Convention Center. That'll let you board the shuttle to the event, which is held at the BIVX Convention Center. You'll want to hop off at the first stop. Once you're at BIVX, then follow the signs for the Invictus Launch Week. You'll have to take another elevator down to get there. Once you've made it down to the show floor, you can wander around and look at the ships on offer and arrange for test flights. You'll be able to use some of the holographic displays to examine ships that are still in the production pipeline, some that are too large to fit inside the convention center. You'll need a Star Citizen
This is already too much trouble for me. I don't fucking care what game this is. That's too much trouble.
You can create one of these by heading over to... What I love is that it's actually like you're actually giving people instructions like you're at your hotel for PAX East. And you have to figure out which trains to take there and how to get to the Boston Convention Center.
Yeah, nothing is worth that.
I'm pretty sure that actual instructions to get down to a flight deck in the year that Star Citizen takes place will be less complicated than what is happening right here.
Well, that's the thing here, is that Star Citizen is basically building their own universe. So I think part of the fun is the exploration of all the stuff that has nothing to do with flight sims.
Their universe is overly complicated and boring.
No, it's not overly complicated. It's just like
our universe is overly complicated and boring.
Here's the thing.
Can you blame them? Look what they modeled it on.
There's a playlist on YouTube that I go to which has all the commercials for Star Citizen. And by commercials, I mean these things are done like real ads. You know, there's a lot of kayfabe going around. And, you know, some of them are narrated by Lance Henriksen. And they're like real TV shows and real commercials that are in-universe that you're watching or listening to. And the reason why I listen to it partly is because the composer is Pedro Camacho, and he does great, what's it called, sound. The music that he's done for Star Citizen is already worth its existence. You know, I don't care if the game never comes out. I have the music, and it's free.
Man. But Star Trek had it.
Go ahead.
Star Trek had it figured out. Press button, B place.
But here's
that sounds delightful.
But here's right? I leave those running on my 4K TV, and I'll just be doing my stuff, and I'm pretending it's the year 2945, you know. And these are real commercials on my TV screen, and I think that's the entire.
I'm pretending it's 11:45 and time to go to bed.
Well, that just yeah. I'm just saying that's the appeal, and I'd probably do this thing if all you need is an account to participate and it's free. I'll do it. You know, because I didn't put a penny into this thing, so I have no qualms about just checking it out, because I don't have any investment. I'm not one of those guys who spent $200 on a spaceship.
I mean, even for a video game, it sounds like a fucking waste of time.
You know, have you ever heard of EVE Online?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not need more waste of time in my life.
Here's the thing.
That is what Facebook is for.
You want something boring and spreadsheety, that's EVE Online.
No, I do not want such things. Why do you not just give me what I want?
The main part of Star Citizen is that it's plopping you in this world like Second Life. You know?
Give me what I want.
That's the main appeal. I think it's more of a social thing as much as it is a space sim.
No, just give me what I want. Do not give me crap. Give me what I want.
Well, there's also Squadron 42, which is going to be the single player.
Don't want that either.
Anyway.
Why is it so hard? Give me what I want. Okay.
Anyways, I'm going to try it out if I can. Because I've seen videos of it, you know, and I've also seen one or two of their updates. Because they're still working on it, you know. Anybody who thinks this is just a way to make money scam, nope. They're serious about it, and they're still working through it through the COVID. They're doing their social networking, you know, and
it's scam. It's scam. It's exactly what you say.
They paid Mark Hamill and Lance Henriksen and oh god, I forgot his name.
To scam you.
Large ham guy. Gary Oldman.
Yes, to scam you.
Okay, enough, Paul. Enough. I'm gonna try it out. Even if I hate it, at least I can say I tried it out.
I mean, it's a free flight event, so like, what do you have to lose except time?
And here's the thing, I don't even know if I'm going to fly. I think my main thing is I'm going to be exploring to see what the non-flight space is like. You know, if it's an entire world, I've joked about it before on the videos, is that if I ever play Star Citizen, I want to have the fastest ship possible, and I'll be the ice cream delivery guy.
Now that I can get behind.
What is the ice cream in Star Citizen?
Well, here's the thing. One of the trailers was for the Hornet, and he's fighting off all these pirates, and he lands, and he gets out, and he calls his wife, and says, "Honey, I got that flavor of ice cream you really liked." It's like all that fighting, and yeah, it was for ice cream. He was probably doing other stuff, and he just had the ice cream as part of it. But it's become sort of a meme, you know.
It's hard to get yelled at when you give your significant other ice cream.
Yeah. And wash out. I could just... Oh, wait, you didn't want the chocolate? You wanted vanilla? Oh, God, I have to go back.
No. See, you don't get a second chance with me. you better bring me the right flavor of ice cream the first time.
I brought the Neapolitan. I wasn't sure.
Sleeping on the couch.
Like I said, this is sort of my thing. Not the space flight sim, but I would like a virtual world again. Not Second Life, which was basically invaded by penises. People who know anything about Second Life will know what I'm talking about.
There are flying penises shooting at us everywhere.
Given enough time, everything you love will be invaded by penises.
But I'm just saying...
Oh, God.
I think a lot of people wanted that from APB Online, basically.
To be invaded by penises?
No. Just a world they can inhabit and have gang fights. Anyway, we're going to move on to listener feedback. Go ahead, TJ.
From Ralph, responding to episode 570. Hi, guys. Sorry for not writing a comment for such a long time. I'm listening to nearly every episode, but forget to write you a line. Sorry for that. Best gamepad for me is the PS4 gamepad. I have small hands, so that's fine for me to handle it. The Switch Pro controller is nice as well, but after some hours, I feel pain in my hands when I'm not playing with the PS4 controller. You gotta get yourself a Pro controller, man.
Yeah, he said.
Oh, wait.
He is
saying
it. He's just saying it gives him pain. He has tiny hands, so, I mean, the Joy-Cons probably are better for him.
Interesting. I missed the Pro part because I was just like thinking the Pro controller actually feels pretty good. Anyways, the Xbox controller is a little bit too clunky to play with for hours. The bigger size is not the problem. For me, it's the orientation of the buttons, especially the ones on the backside. Those are some honking triggers. I'm playing WoW right now, that's World of Warcraft, and I am not able to play Magic with real cards, so WoW is a welcome time killer. In addition, I'm playing the new Ori game, the new Doom game, and I want to start the Final Fantasy VII Remake. Absolutely do it, it's very good. Regarding Fallout New Vegas, I can't tell anything about it. Never played it, should I? Yes.
Here's the thing, if you like first-person RPGs, then go right ahead. I mean, there are some people who just want isometric or turn-based and stuff like that. But if you like stuff like, you know, regular Fallout or Skyrim and stuff like that, yeah, go ahead with Fallout New Vegas.
Yes. Or you can just follow the Fallout 4 mod that they're making where they're just like rebuilding all of New Vegas in the Fallout 4 engine, which is fascinating if you ask me. People are really playing more survival games during the COVID period. Oh my god, they should watch The Walking Dead instead.
No, because The Walking Dead is pretty boring and stupid and does not.
There's a Walking Dead survival game now. It's called Walking Dead Saints and Sinners, and it's actually not bad.
It's called Go Outside.
Without a mask. That's how you become.
Oh my god, don't even get me started.
Well, you're in Florida. Don't get me started. Damn it. That's...
Oh my god, the fucking I can't. No, I can't. I don't get me started because I'll say something that'll get me fired. Just don't.
Alright. Regarding the grinding discussion, I played WoW and played it for 15 years. I played it 15 years ago, so I know grinding very good. But at least if you're in Discord with some friends talking and maybe watching some TV shows on a second screen, it's not that hard and boring. But sure, it's sad that you have to grind at some point to get good rewards.
Okay, here's the difference. When I talk about grinding that I hate, it's always a single-player experience. Because as a single player, I should be able to define my own experience, you know. If you don't give me the ability to define my own experience, then I'm just going to get bored and not play you. That's why I said fuck you to the NBA 2K series, especially 2K20, which took away my sliders. So I could modify the game the way I wanted to play, because how I want to play is how I want to play. And if you don't want make it the way I want it, well, then I don't need you.
That's exactly the reaction that I had to the Sci-Fi Channel back in the day, because they took away my sliders.
Wait, you're a big John Rhys-Davies fan?
Sliders!
I know, John Rhys-Davies. He was the professor.
That was a cool show in its first season. And then as soon as the professor died, the show turned to shit.
Oh, what was
like, it's like, dude, don't even watch after that point.
I mean, everybody thinks the show jumped the shark when they introduced the evil sliders.
No, that show jumped the shark when the professor dies.
I know, but
like that, like you could just do yourself a favor and stop watching.
Because you know,
then it's all about, oh my god, the evil sliders and the Cro-Magnons are coming.
This isn't a show about exploring the world of fast food finger sandwiches, and I don't care.
Join us next week when our topic will be Subway or Grindr.
Paul, do you still watch Doctor Who?
Occasionally. I haven't noticed her new season coming back. She told me to stay home. So that's what I'm doing.
Wait, did they...
The doctor told me to stay home, so I listened.
Yeah. Have they introduced the female Doctor Who yet?
Yeah, I watched a whole season of that. They're not giving her anything interesting to do.
She
problem.
She doesn't have Rose to talk to. See, that's the problem.
Oh, it's not even like they give her three companions, and there's not anything interesting happening with any of them. So, like, they're not really capitalizing on a new doctor at all, let alone like a female doctor. Like, they switched actors and they didn't bother to figure out who is this doctor, what is this season long story arc that we're going to be telling, right? Like, we had what's his name that was so sorry for everyone all the time, and then we had what's his name when, oh my god, we're still at war, you know, they all had a thing, and they don't seem to be giving the current actor a thing.
All I know is Peter Capaldi was in Local Hero.
Right, but like Matt Smith was always trying to save everybody all the time, and he was so sorry. And Eccleston was like still angry because he's the war doctor. And it's like they haven't given the current actor a thing to be, like a specific vision to be, other than
she's a female.
We hired a chick, and we thought that'd be that's not. But they're not even playing with that, right? They're not even, like, having her make comments on, like, going undercover as a woman being weird, right? They're not even, like, doing gender. They're just, like, we hired a chick to play her this time and picked up, like, a whole bunch of scripts off the garbage room floor.
Yeah, so her
and said here
is the beginning and ending of her characterization.
Yeah, exactly.
She has boobs. Look. This doctor has boobs on her.
And it's just so irritating because I know that what's her name, Jodie Benson? I know that the actress wants to do more. You can feel it, and they're just not giving her interesting plot lines to play with. That's totally not Jodie Benson. I don't even know who the right I got that name from. Who the hell is that?
Jodie Benson is Ariel, isn't she?
Yes, thank you. Oh, God, where did they pull that name out of? Must have been from
the internet. She was also in Mighty Kong, too. Anyways.
But the point is, you know, I would love to watch more Doctor Who if they gave me a reason to watch and for her to show up every day.
I remember seeing a video about Anyway, that's another rabbit hole we're not going to jump into because we've had entire episodes of just discussing Doctor Who. Or at least you and
Frozen
Jennifer
2 is the best thing ever.
About Doctor Who.
Nope. Frozen 2 is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so please comment on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
And you can't find me. I am like Carmen San Diego and Waldo. The three of us. We hang out, we drink champagne, and we laugh at you.
Why a Russian accent?
I don't know.
Well, you are Eastern European, Paul, aren't you?
My family does come from Ukraine.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. I always think of the Carmen Sandiego cartoon, and she was suave as fuck in that show.
Oh, my God. I'd flip for her.
I've always liked Lynn Thigpen.
For the cartoon Carmen? Yeah, I'd flip for her.
Well, I always liked Lynn Thigpen. I mean, I've known her for a long while. I didn't even watch her doing Carmen Sandiego, but I knew her from other stuff. So.
Oh, my God. Who did the voice of Carmen Sandiego? She was famous.
You don't know?
It's one of those. I know the name, and as soon as I hear it, I will remember it. But I can't spontaneously come up with the name of my own.
Begins Cheetah with
Rivera?
A G. Begins with a G. Begins. G.
I give up.
Gina Rodriguez.
No.
Yes!
No. With Zach and Ivy chasing Carmen around the planet.
What?
Where is Carmen Sandiego? Carmen Sandiego, where on earth can she be? Tell me, where is Carmen?
Oh, Rita Moreno.
Thank you, Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Remember, it's Rita, not Cheetah. I am Rita, but not Cheetah. Cheetah, but not Rita.
Rita Moreno, not Cheetah Rivera, because they're different people.
Yeah, I know.
They don't like it when you confuse them for one another.
Have you ever watched Forbidden Broadway?
Forbidden Broadway's been going on for like 25 years.
Yeah,
so I've seen some of Forbidden Broadway. I remember Ouch, They're Tight.
I'm going to send you the link of my favorite rendition of that.
Please don't. They won't watch it.
Yes, you will.
No, he won't.
It is hilarious. I sent the link. Now you have to watch it later. I am Rita, but not Cheetah. She is Cheetah, but not Rita. You know, anyways.
No, I remember Ouch, They're Tight. That was a good one. It was back
the
in my college
bit
days.
Of the
Ooh,
number is
old.
That Cheetah Rivera would always do the stage version, but Rita would play the film.
And Rita Moreno would do the film, right.
Of the same roles. But they actually did perform together like a few years ago. Not Cheetah, not Rita, but, you know.
Yes, yes, because you see, the stars collided, and we didn't care that our universe was about to fold in and of itself, like any time you smash a paradox against itself, like in any sci-fi.
Anyways, I sent you the link. You should watch it. It's hilarious.
Okay, it is time for me to crawl into bed, children.
Okay, well, we won't see Paul next week, but you will see me and TJ and hopefully Scott next week.
Because I am old, and I do not return.
I'm older than you. What are you talking about?
I know, but I am feeling quite grumpy right now.
Okay.
Because it is past my bedtime.
You know, at some point he's going to start doing Yakov Smirnov Russian reversal jokes. So let's just say goodbye.
In Soviet Russia, Fork likes you.
You can find us next week. You can find me here next week and just give the sign off, TJ.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.
That is it. Bye-bye, Paul.
Bye, Bonds. Well, that's really not really good advice right now. It used to be much better.
The one time.
Our government's going to collapse. It's hysterical.